But those that haven't met yet, I serve the congregation for 34 North College Street. It's a combination of the Jefferson Street Church of Christ and the Half Street Church of Christ. The two bodies came together to form the congregation known as the Peter's Church of Christ. And we occupied the building that 234 North College Street. We had to come to see last year. We had to come up with these in October, I think. So hopefully we can take the time to lift every voice and speak to you. We can see you every night tonight at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, right here. Right here. The opening Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The interesting thing about the preaching process, we don't know where, we don't know what everybody is studying, you know, what they're talking about. We use Sunday school with studying from Brother Brando to the choir of the Christian practice. Trying to instill and reestablish, basic foundation. The basic foundation. To keep it moving, I'm moving to the right, but also so that my back is changing to the left. You may see me with the glasses on, you may see me in the hall. I can see sometimes. So, you see, and I relocated to under this light. From the book of 2 Timothy, we see that the Apostle Paul is trying to fortify Timothy, young Timothy. He's trying to equip him with the tools that he'll need to face the challenges that are coming. And Paul knew that the road wouldn't be easy, and especially for a youngster like Timothy. Because, when you're young, people sometimes they try to take advantage of the people. It's all, he's just a boy. He's never a boy. And sometimes you end up having to prove yourself to people. So he's grown up a little bit, he's not just a little boy anymore. And if you ever had a chance to just kind of look in depth at that perspective, Paul, he uses analogies of a farm. Athlete to try to show how persistent, having your eyes on the goal and exercising persistence, how persistence will end up paying off in the long run. It'll pay off in the long run. He used the analogy about soldiers. So those are all things that everybody knew something about the things we can relate to. You got the Olympic Games coming up in so many days in
Brazil.
Brazil, right, okay. So you can see that people who compete in the Olympics, they didn't just wake up. They didn't just wake up and say, well, I think I'll go to the Olympics. And go. They might want to go. But they don't have this bad ticket, and hopefully they can get into the event, but they won't be able to participate. I got a cousin, live across the road from me. He kind of his own world, and I see him out there. He out there running around and shadow boxing. I said, "What you doing, man?" He said, "I'm going to the Olympics." Oh, really? And that's been about 10 years ago. He hasn't made it yet, you know. So in chapter 2, in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 3, Paul is encouraging Timothy about perilous time. Perilous time they're going to come. And that first 5 verses, if you would indulge with me. First Timothy, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3, first 5 verses. And Paul is locked up, and he don't know if he's going to get to see Timothy. So he's writing to him. You know how you put it on paper. You put it on paper, you got to worry about it. Okay? He said, but know this, that in the last days, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. We're going to talk about that this morning, about forgiveness. Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. For of this sort are those who creep into households, verse 6, and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. A key thing here in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Paul charges Timothy to do what? Stay away from him. Now, these exhortations and these warnings that he's giving to him, is he talking about all of the people? Is he talking about people in the world? Or is he talking about people where?
Church.
He's talking about us. He's talking about us. And you know what? As I look around the room, I see some hardy ones. I see some headstrong. I see some traitors. I see some unforgivers. And then there, everybody, I see some slanderers, some unthankful, some disobedient to parents. I can say that because I got 3 children here. But in other words, such were some of you, you know. But we've been watched. Oh, yeah. We've been watched and now we covered, right? We've been watched and now we covered. But if that is, and this is the way that thing is, Jerry, if I know that about you, if you know that about me, you're supposed to be talking to me. You're supposed to be talking to me about it, not slandering me. You're talking to Betty and Geraldine and everybody else and Mary. And Lord, please don't let Mary know about it, because everybody don't know. but that's the audience that he was talking to. Paul warns the Christians through Timothy that in the last days, perilous times will come. So what are perilous times? What are perilous times? Merriam-Webster defines perilous as involving or full of grave risk or peril, hazardous, dangerous, or risky times. Brian Baer can tell you about hazardous times. When he's approached, you know how you see these trucks going down the road, and they have placards on, you know, have signs on it. And they usually don't have a word, it's just a symbol. But those symbols mean something. You know, it's costly, it's flammable, all of those things. It's warning that some danger is existing. And that's what Paul told Timothy. So as we just dive into this lesson, what time do you have to stop?
Quarter hour.
So we got 30 minutes. We got 30 minutes. Yes, please.
Now, I want to say we are living in these perilous times because of the things that are going on in the world and the things that we have to be aware of. Mm-hmm. And we need to be very, very vigilant. Or should I say vigilant?
Yeah.
That's the word.
Vigilant and diligent. I know.
But we need to be that because when this was written, and written to Timothy, Paul was talking about it's coming. Mm-hmm. You know, they hadn't gotten that yet. You know?
Right.
Well, now, the perilous times are here.
We've been living in the last days ever since the resurrection of Christ. But the difference, we're not standing around looking up in the clouds already saying, Lord, take me.
Yeah.
But you need to be saying, Lord, take me, but don't just stand still. You need to be still working. Every day working for Jesus as if it's the last day. Because today might be the last day. This evening you'll be saying, he was just thinking to talk to us this moment. And then he's gone. That's how fast things happen.
Amen.
Paul warned Timothy that he would see these kinds of practices among God's people. Paul warned Timothy not to think it strange if there is in the church bad men. What? In the church? Yes, sir. Bad men. And some people in the room, we've experienced it. God always has a plan, but maybe Brian and Devin and Leslie and Geraldine and Dolores and Mary, Artrell, Alicia, Phillip, William, Ben and Reynard, and myself, we wouldn't necessarily be right here right now had it not been for some bad man that had you looked at that way? We God always got a plan.
Yeah.
God always got a plan. This is not this lesson, this is another lesson. But you know, as the weeds, the tares, growing up in the chafe, the wheat, that's all right, just let it go. We'll separate the house, where it? On the threshing floor. We're going to separate. It's not just that we're separated. We're separated, right? You know, I'm always trying to do nice things for my wife. I was in the Macy's the other day, and I saw this thing, and it was beautiful. I do nice things, especially when they're on clearance for the important to turn out. And it was I ain't never heard of it before. It was a separator. It's a separator. You know, it was a little plastic, a little, just imagine like a measuring cup thing. And it had a little handle on it, you could squeeze, and the, you know, the bottom would open up. And it had a screen on the top. And see, you can take that grease. Some of y'all don't know what grease is. The fat, the oil,
yeah,
the dripping. You can pour it in the top of that. And then immediately it starts to separate. The solid items, then I can go through the first phase. Then what's captured is a different kind of liquid. Then those two are going to separate, and then you got the good stuff. And the good stuff goes to the bottom, and then you squeeze it, and you get the good stuff out of there. But you leave it in the fat. But see, when I see her do that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the top off, put some of that in. But you're supposed to be, it advertises you can make perfect gravy. You can make perfect gravy and sauces from that. But that's what happens, see. A separation occurs, and the good and the bad they separate. And then what's left is used, and then it's disposed of accordingly. In Matthew chapter, Paul warned Timothy not to think it strange if there is in the church bad men, and we've seen it, because the net of the gospel will enclose both good and bad. Both good and bad. If you look at Matthew chapter 11, keep your finger there in 2 Timothy. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 and 48. The judgment. 13, verse 47 and 48.
Oh, okay.
Jesus said, again, Matthew 13, 47, 48. Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels. But they threw the bad away. So now you just imagine that Wesley, we down there in Yorktown, and we just cast out the net. And in that net, you get some crocus, get some spots, get some blowfish, get some eels, get some catfish. You might even get a water snake. All that, you know. So then we're gonna sit down and we're gonna sort those things out. And since I like crocus, you like spot, I'm gonna put crocus in my cooler. You can put spots in your cooler. That's the vessel, the cooler. And we're not exquisite and astute enough to like blowfish, so we're gonna throw them back. And we don't like eels, we're gonna throw them back. We surely don't like snakes, we'll throw them back. But that's the way the net of the gospel is. It proposed some of everybody. Some of everybody. And this experiment that we are in called life, we're going to run into all kinds of people. Tempted must know that in the last days, or in gospel times, there will be perilous times. Not so much on account of persecution from without, as on account of corruption that exists within. Perilous times will come when some men, they have a form of godliness. What does that mean? They got a form of godliness.
It looks good from the outside, mm-hmm. But inside, you know, you got to get to know that person.
Okay. So they got a little bit of good in them. They got a little bit of good in them. Okay. But underneath, they have a form of godliness, but underneath, they're corrupt and wicked and will do a great deal of damage to the church. And I keep looking at Ray because he knows.
Oh, yeah. You
know?
Oh, yeah.
You know. All I say, amen.
Amen, bro.
That's right, man. The blessing is when you have a chance to, and I don't say, I'm going to say a blessing, but, well, a blessing, because you, If you experience something like that, then you know. Because you say, wait a minute, that'll never happen. It never happened in the Lord's church.
And
it has. And guess what? You will. You got to be careful. Because you know what? If I came in here with some kind of strange doctrine, talking some stuff, man, let me tell you what. The last swap, I was at Carson Street, and my brother told me the secretary wanted to know if I had lesson notes that I wanted to put in the bulletin. But what I heard him saying was, I need to see your lesson so the elders can review it to make sure that it's okay. So, you know, I submitted everything. And he said, what is all this? He said, I can't think of the lady's name. He said, all she wants is a snippet. All she wants is a little snippet, you know, with the stop. She just wants a little snippet to put in the book, you know. And I told the power brother, I said, you know, I want you to know what I'm going to talk about, you know. So there won't be no question about it, you know. I think, you know, you don't want me to get up there and start talking about this, that, and the other. That's not true. So, I mean, although he's my brother, he said, well, we're not worried about that with you. He said, now, because, you know, you're proving yourself, you know, unless you do a 180 from the last time you spoke, we ain't worried about it. That's okay, about it. He said, now, some people, they better not deviate from the script one word, or we'll shut them down. That trap door, that's what the trap door is for. Because, you, in other words, the elders here, they don't want me to come here and destroy everything they built. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So he knew the perilous time would come. And that those things, they would do a great deal of damage to the church. For example, if you got four traitors, within the church, they may do more harm to it than 100 on the outside of the church. Because see, you got the people that are inside the firing line. They're not in the line of fire. They're inside, they're okay. That's the enemy. They can tear you up. They can destroy you. They can destroy you. Look at Matthew 26, 23 and 25. Matthew chapter 26. And this area of passage is very familiar. It's the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the events that are going to unfold. And in verse 23, Jesus said, he who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. Verse 25, Jesus said, he who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And what did Jesus tell him? That's right. He said, you say it. He said, you got that right, brother. You know what you're going to do. He said, you know what you're going to do. So what makes for perilous time? What makes for perilous time? It's three letter word.
Sin.
Man, this guy's shocking. This guy's shocking. Sin. That's all it is. You know, you have all the big fancy words, all the big fancy titles, and everything, but it comes down to one thing. See. The coming of perilous times is the evidence of the truth of the scripture's prediction. In 1 Timothy 4, 3 verses. We got ice. First Timothy 4, first three verses.
Yes. Can you read it?
Or you don't read it? Okay, go ahead. First three verses, first Timothy 4.
Now the Spirit is expressly said that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience sealed with a hard iron, forbidding to marry, and demanding to abstain
from foods which God created to receive the thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. If it is received with thanksgiving.
All right. Now, look at 2 Timothy, chapter 4. So, you see, he's equipping young Timothy for what's coming down the road. In 2 Timothy 4:1-4,
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside from faith.
So they will heap up for themselves teachers. Lord, we'll hire somebody who will say what we want to hear. They'll say everything. We'll hire somebody who will say what we want to hear. And, look here, man. Don't preach about that. Don't preach about that. Because, you know, you don't want to offend brothers, sisters, so-and-so. But, you know, they have a non-traditional relationship. First off, don't tell me what to preach. And second of all, what you mean? Well, they ain't sent to me. They not married. I said, they not married. They don't supposed to be living together.
That's right.
No, I'm not going to stifle what I say just to not offend somebody. And I hope I offend you today. And that you, I offend you enough that you repent. Because you know what? I'm gone. He said I got my key right in my pocket. And I popped so I didn't get blocked in. but we could talk for hours just about the category that had been covered right in here. But Paul, he didn't leave Timothy in the dark about these perilous times. He told him what the identifying marks were and what would make it. What the identifying marks were and what would make for perilous times. Self-love, that would make for perilous times. Who is it that doesn't love himself? Ain't no wrong with loving yourself, but you can't love yourself too much. The self-love the Bible is talking about is men who love their carnal selves better than their spiritual selves. You know, they're more interested in pleasing their physical needs. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. If that, if I see that boat and I want it, I'm going to get it regardless. If I see that woman, I want it. I'm going to get it regardless. If I see that man, same thing, but glad you are too. I'm going to get it regardless. I don't care if I'm married, whatever. I'm going to get it. I don't care if he's married, I'm going to get it. Men and women love to gratify their own lusts and make provision for them more than pleasing God and doing his work. I know that's not the case. They will mind themselves only and prefer their own gratification before the church edification. Provide for their own gratification before the church edification. When men are lovers of themselves, very little good can be expected of them. You mean tell me somebody that they gonna come? They're not going to do anything. They're not going to get involved. They're not going to participate. If there's anything outside of the 10:30 to 1 o'clock hour. See, that was a between that 10:30 and 10:30, 11:35, 45 hours. Anything like that, they can see. You know what? The fifth sentence in that, I mean, I know some people have limitations where they can't in the evening, they can't travel. But the Lord blessed us with daylight savings time. So if we can get come this evening, get in and get out before it's dark. That's if you're trying to do that. See, some people, I know it's not like they're here. I know it's like not like they're here. But you're going to see them at worship, that's it. If it's anything special, first off, they're not coming to Bible study on Sunday morning. They're not coming to Bible study on Wednesday night. See, y'all not paying me, so I can say it.
Oh, that happens
here. No.
That happens everywhere.
No.
I'll tell you, you see these people, what they have to do to get here, that's what's fine.
That's crazy.
I see these men and these ladies that have to fight through the thing to get here.
That's right.
And they inspire.
That is. If it's a, you can say we have an important church meeting. We need everybody to come to this. Share some things. They're not coming. And more importantly, they won't bring their kids to Bible church. So what the children need to be to learn, I know that don't have a problem here. And worship start at, we'll just make up an example, the worship start at 10. Some people, I know I'm not going to see them until 10:30. And we used to be kind of, so we would sing a few more songs so some more people come in. I said, no, no, let's don't do that. Let's just go ahead on. Because, you know, we can't, Jerry and Peggy here on time. We can't make them suffer. You know, because Raymond and Betty, they take a little, not take it. You know, the time for worship is the time for worship. Amen. And Russ ain't telling me to say that. Yes, he did. No, he did. So, if we put Christ first, if we put Christ first, remove ourselves, put Christ first. Times of perilous, where there are brothers and sisters that will falsely accuse one another. I know that's not here. Acts 23 and 1, the Bible says, you should not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Now, if Weston come to tell you something about Brian, okay, Weston wrong for doing that. But what you, if Weston come to tell you something about Brian, if you're going to talk to somebody about it, who should you be talking to?
Brian.
Brian. Right. Now, when you go to Brian, you need to say, Weston said, I mean, you said, Brian, I heard some information that this is blah, 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 like that. So then he mad at what? You know, he said, well, who told you that? Well, don't worry about me saying it. Let's just get it together. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, I'm going to tell you one time, Jerry, we had a new chief come in and say it. And, new chief, everybody trying to impress him. They want to get their foot in the door. You know, Brian knows us about that new supervisor. So anyway, everybody in the chief, you know, Sergeant Hoosier, he said that you don't know his hands are holding the ring. And he said, okay, God, don't worry about that. And so then somebody else come to tell him that, Lieutenant Radcliffe said this, and Officer so-and-so, they said this. It's okay. Fine, fine. Thank you. So we had a staff meeting. Going through the staff meeting. He said, now contrary to what Sergeant Bear said, I do know my head from a hole in the ground. I ain't said that, Chief. Yes, you did say it, because Jerry Radcliffe told me you said it. And he did. He went around the room. He said everything that everybody told him on the other one. Now, so you got Now look, didn't they cut that out? Didn't they cut out that word of telling? Because you can't tell him anything, because he's gonna tell the person that said it. That cut that out quick. So even if something was happening that he needed to know, he didn't want to tell him. There are people who would take what you say and change it to the way they want it to be said. And then they'll go and spread the lies all over the church and even worse, all over the community. Slander, that's anything spoken that harms one's reputation. Perilous times are here. Perilous times are here.
The ladies of Proverbs said the argument against my brother was very consistent until he had a chance to speak.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And, you know, we see it now. It's just happening all over the world. Times are perilous when the world sets the standards for the church. When the world sets the standards for the church. But Christians are not to be conformed to this world.
Amen.
Romans 12:2. Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
That you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. All disciples and true followers of the Lord of Jesus must be non-conformists to this world. You cannot be, you can't have it both ways. You can't be of the world and in the church. We live in the world, but we ain't got to be of the world. We as Christians must let the Bible be the standard of management for how we dress ourselves. Now, you say, when people tell me what to wear? 1 Timothy 2:9-10. And it's a bigger picture. It's a bigger picture. And 1 Peter 3:3-4. And I let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging a hair, or wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Okay? You see, that's what happened here. For years, that's what we got stuck at. And I said, look at the Lord. She got gold earrings on. She got her hair arranged a certain way. She got on some fine apparel. Got a Michael Kors pocketbook and anyway. She got all that stuff. But what the Bible says is, do not let your beauty be that outward adorning or arranging of hair, or wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. It said, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. But see, we missed all of that. We missed all of that part. Important part of it. In other words, don't let that define you. He said something, I don't know what it was, Brian. He said, you think you're sharp, don't you? You got your bow tie. Mm-hmm. I said, brother, that's all I wear now, bow tie. Mm-hmm. I said, my son gave me a whole box of bow ties. I said, and then I would start buying for $5 a piece, so that's all you ever see. And I told Carl River Jr., I said, man, you can't wear no bow tie. I said, you look like a urologist. It's not the outward, it's the inward.
You said
I was actually 1 Timothy 2:9-10, but then 1 Peter 3:3-4.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with dressing nice and keeping our hair looking nice, but the most important thing is what we wear in our hearts. We can see here that Christians are taught to be different from the world. But as we live day by day, we can see that Christians are letting the world dictate to them how they should adopt the attitude that we should be like other people. Guess what? The Supreme Court of the United States, appointed by the president. I'm glad I got time, Peter. See, normally if a man named Simon White, normally he does like this. He slapped his wrist like that. Let me know the time. But you know, Supreme Court, they make decisions all the time. They make decisions all the time. But guess what? Who is our Supreme Court?
Jesus.
It's three men sitting on our court. It's three individuals sitting on our court. Who is that?
God, Jesus.
That's right. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's what we're going to be judged by. That's what we judge by. The content of our Christian character. You got to obey the laws of the land until they conflict with the laws of God. And the blessing is it very rarely happens. But when it does, where will you stand? Where will you stand? The more important thing is where will you spend eternity? I guess it's time. Thank y'all for your participation.
Thank you. Yeah, that's been we told that there, but I
don't lie.
I do it. I'll pray. Love to go, Father. Welcome, Father, we come here this time thanking you for the beautiful day you bless us to see. I want to thank our brother Philip Jones Sr. for the lesson which he presented to us this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll be able to use these things that he has mentioned in our lives and further your will and your way. Thank you for your Son, King Jesus, and the ultimate sacrifice. As we further the service today, we pray that you will go with us and everything that we do and say will be pleasing and acceptable in our sight. This is my prayer. We ask it all in King Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.